All right, we are back, and we are Insane Asylum investigative talk about all things paranormal. And we are here tonight with Jay Toshin. And Jay, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Staying away from this stupid virus that's out there.
Hey, it's the best way to stay.
Yep.
Got to keep safe.
I've actually been very lucky on that. I have not, since all this has started, I have not had to test yet.
That's good. I actually heard the CDC was talking about slowing the testing down because they were getting some more false positives than that.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Anyway, so starting out, I'm going to ask you about you. It's a question that I normally start with all of our guests, and it's to help people get to know you a little bit better, especially if they haven't seen your website or anything like that. So what got you interested in the paranormal, and what got you started in the paranormal?
Oh, that's great. Now this is going to be long-winded. So
that's fine.
Be prepared.
We got an hour. Go for it.
You know what? I've got to say, I was always the oddball kid, I guess, you know, growing up when, you know, everybody's, you know, outside in summertime, you know, playing softball and everything. I'm downstairs watching Godzilla movies or Frankenstein movies.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we're dating ourselves, right, when we go that far back. But honestly, I've always been into just the weird stuff. I guess you'd call it the fringe now. But anything weird, I was just all about. So pretty much, you know, just going through my younger part of my life, you know, those are the things that really fascinated me, or I showed interest in 1977. I was about 10 years old, and my mom and sister were coming home from a school function on a Friday night, and I remember my sister, just a year older than me, is coming and crying, saying, we're being invaded, and she's crying, and we kind of walk out. My mom's like, no, there's this weird light that we've been following, or it's been following us ever since we left the school. So my other two brothers, my sister, my mom, were all looking up in the night sky at this. For lack of a better term here, it was your UFO. It was spinning, silent. It was low. Best way to say it is maybe 300 feet high, you know, up. It wasn't way up in the sky. And this thing would just kind of like pulsate, kind of move around, and then it would blink out, and it would be across the sky, still in our sight, with it within a second. It was just like, voop, it was there. Then it would do the same thing and hover for a couple minutes, and then voop, it was across the sky, but we could still see it. So it stayed within our vicinity, and the final one was going across. Now, that there, because I was already into the weird, the fringe, I was like, whoa, you know. And then I found out my grandfather out of Chicago was in the early chapters of MUFON out of Chicago. So we had a really big bond after that about finding out that he was kind of like the, you know, a younger version of Fox Mulder, you know, searching for the truth. And it was really cool. So ever since then, I've been into, you know, I'd say, you know, my jam was aliens and UFOs. You know, I was just so intrigued and couldn't get enough documentaries or movies or anything like that. Close Encounters of the Third Kind always fascinated me. So, you know, throughout my life, I have seen different weird objects that I can't say if it was a normal aircraft or not because of the way it moved. That's the only thing I could say. You know, if you're looking at a star and it doesn't move, it's hard to say, well, look at that UFO. Or if you're seeing a plane coming at you with its lights on, it's really bright, but it's not moving because it's coming straight at you. You know, it's a plane. I'm talking about the things that just move differently in, you know, in the night sky. So let's fast forward. You know, we go through the 80s, see Ghostbusters, you know, how intriguing. How cool would that be to go out and, you know, look for ghosts and everything? During that time, I saw a movie called Mysterious Monsters. That was probably in the late 70s as well, though, where they showed Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, and the Yeti. You know, and I saw those. Yeah, I saw the PNG film back.
I'm from the late 70s or the 70s. So I was about 10 when
we
I was.
We all nine, so. Are.
Exactly. So you guys know what I'm talking about. You
have me by a year, and that's it.
But even seeing the Patterson-Gimlin film when I was young, I didn't see what the big hype was because I thought it was a guy in a suit. I mean, I really did. Just seeing it out the movies. So I always put Bigfoot in a category, non-aliens or ghosts, but more of unicorns and leprechauns and fairies and folklore. Because, right. You know, you're thinking how many people you know hunt or went out, then how many, when you get older, find out how many people researched Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, where's the body? And everybody they pull up, like Rick Dyer in the late 2000s, was a hoax. Everything's a hoax. So, therefore, Bigfoot is a hoax. So, I didn't pay any attention to that. So, getting into, you know, more of what I do now, it wasn't until 2006, me and my wife went on the East Coast honeymoon, kind of an amazing race type thing. We didn't really have a destination. We just kind of went to the coast. We ended up in Salem, and it was right near Halloween, so we went on a ghost tour. And I really found that intriguing because the only thing that was on TV at the time was Ghost Hunters. That's it. There wasn't any other paranormal show, which made that show to me real. And I really thought after doing this tour in Salem that when we got back to Wisconsin that we would, I don't want to say form a team, but it was kind of a husband and wife quest at first. And we were just going to go to some graveyards and look around and get the devices, get audio devices to see. Because I really want to know if that was real or not, because it's like, hey, I'm no dummy. Anything on TV, you know, that's a, it's all entertainment, no matter what you watch.
Right. It's all right.
You know, and
for the ratings and the money.
It's all about advertising, the money and the almighty dollar. So I wanted to go out to see if it's, you know, if I could experience something real or if I could help try to either A, debunk it or figure out what it was. Mm-hmm. Well, some of my friends got wind of what I was doing, and next thing I know, I had a team that you know, we had to come up with a moniker, you know, and the moniker, you know, just like, what is it, the Atlantic Pacific Society, TAPS? We were Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators.
And you did that in 2007.
Yeah, 2007, exactly. Yeah, I had my own MySpace account, you know. With some cool music going,
it's back, yeah,
yeah.
I'm surprised.
We got all of us in black shirts doing the, you know what I mean? The classic, yeah. But actually, it's funny because that's why I don't go black. You know, I go all blue because it's like I want to go a little bit away from what the cliche is, but that doesn't matter. That's just me. So we formed a team, and. Then we finally got up a website in 2008, and we actually started getting people requesting us to come out to look.
That's pretty easy for you. It says here that you're also a graphic designer, so that must have been real easy to design that website for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love it. You know, you give me a project to work on, like Bigfoot or even ghosts, UFOs. I love doing that stuff. And you know what? But the thing is, that's what we wanted to do, and it's the only way to do it, because you could go to every cemetery there is, but you're outdoors. It's an uncontrolled environment. You really don't know what's out there. So long story longer, for those 5 years, we were really doing a lot of we went to Ohio State Reformatory. We do businesses, houses. I've experienced some weird stuff. Don't know what yet, but the classic. And this was in a residence in Rockton, Illinois, in a basement. You know, you think, you know, your mom's basement. You're down there at 3 a.m. And at that time, you're just like, all right, give me another amp or, you know, something to keep me awake. But something did light up, and actually I felt it go through me. And that was, at this point, I'm all, you know, I'm almost tired. You know, the hype is over that you're there at 7 o'clock at night. Now it's 3. You're like, all right, let's go. Whatever this was, it felt like it went through me, and it was ice cold. And I looked at my arm, and I wasn't scared or nervous or anything, but I looked at my arm, and I was just statically charged. Mm-hmm. I mean, every hair on my I could feel it on my neck, my legs, everything, like a cat. But I wasn't scared. But I'm looking at it, and I did document it. And, you know, we've caught different paranormal type things, still inconclusive of what it is. And 2012, I live so close to Bray Road that, you know, like I said, the Wolfman, all those different creature feature things always fascinated me. I'm like, come on, we're 13 minutes away from Bray Road. Why don't we just kind of go just tour it? You know, you're not supposed to get out. It's all private farms. And if you get off, you know, old Farmer Bray is going to look at Brown down the street saying, hey, you got somebody on your land. You know, they're close to a bunch up there. But you can still tour it. You know, it's a public road. And we did that for a good year. And we take some of these back roads because it wasn't just Bray Road. It was the side roads that aerially, you know, just crazy. But we ended up in the southern unit of the Kettle Moraine. And that's when we started just kind of driving about. And we got off in October. It was 2013, four of us. We went out there and I had my real crappy tape player with the IR on it. And we're just kind of walking. And I kid you not, I'm no Outback Jack. I don't want to say I've been out wildlife hunting my whole life or anything like that. But we heard what almost sounded like a simian type, human type yell. And it was really, really weird. And we heard about five calls of it. I was able to capture one of them. But none of us were able to identify what that animal was. And at that point, this, like I said, this was a long-winded answer of me getting to that point, was saying, is there something to the Beast of Bray Road or even Bigfoot? Remember, I didn't believe in Bigfoot at all. And at that point, after hearing that, not being able to identify it, not even to be able to get any other expert hunters that I know to identify the sound, you know, they could speculate what it was, but you know, I'm looking for proof. My motto has always been to hunt the truth. You know, you're not hunting with a gun. You're searching for that truth. You're looking for answers. Yeah. And that's me. I'm not worried about trying to capture something to prove to the world that this thing exists, because let's face it, 50-50 split, no matter where you go, no matter anything in life, you can have the best evidence and it's going to be CGI to somebody, or it's going to be fake, or, you know, this guy's been doing it so long, he's been on so many podcasts and radio and TV that he found it or whatever. But it's like, I want to find it for me. Secondly, my wife, so she can stop rolling her eyes at me. She's supportive. She's very supportive that I do this and thinks it's possible. Maybe not in Wisconsin, you know, like Bigfoot, you know, maybe being more in the Pacific, you know, Northwest like that. But, you know, I want that even for my kids. You know, my 9-year-old daughter, whenever I leave on a weekend night to go out, she's like, you better bring home Bigfoot or I'm going to be disappointed. And I'm like, oh, that's such a tall order. You know, you're putting the pressure on me. But I always say you can't hunt the truth sitting at home. I mean, it's great to get the knowledge and learn everything you can from whatever you can dig up to read, books, and gain that knowledge. But there's that knowledge, then there's being out in the field knowledge, you know. And you do need both, don't get me wrong. But I always feel like if I'm sitting here, something's going on out there that I'm not going to be able to document for myself. So 2013 is, I would probably say, is when I finally said, maybe there is a Bigfoot out here, you know. So that's how I got into it.
So in 2013, did you go back and really examine that Patterson footage and come up with a,
you know what, no, not yet, because again, I've seen that so many times. And honestly, if you even say Bigfoot, in fact, my first video that I put out for my Facebook page, you know, I moved on from MySpace. But we went on to, I posted something and I couldn't even say we think it's a Bigfoot. I think I said in 2013 that we're looking for some woodland creature. That's how I phrased it. I didn't want to say Bigfoot, but let's be honest, you know. You say Bigfoot now, it's the butt end of a joke. You know, it's like, hey, I'm looking for unicorns. Okay, Jay, you know. So when I got back, like you were saying, did I go examine the Patterson film? No, not yet. I think I was looking more for, you've heard of the BFRO, obviously. You know, where they have something. So I'm like, oh, let me check to see if there's been any sightings here in Wisconsin. I talked to Linda Gottfried. She's the hub here in Wisconsin for Beast of Bray Road, Bigfoot, or right. any other creatures. So since we were friends, I would talk to her and get some, you know, sightings that might not be on the BFRO or whatnot. And I'm like, man, maybe there's something to it. And that's when I started going out every week, pretty much. I mean, besides deer season or, you know, Christmas or my wife's anniversary, I'm out there in the woods, and it's not always the same day, but I'm always out there. As a matter of fact, the best thing about that was, is I kept going out after hearing the vocals of whatever that was. I kept going out, right? And nothing. I mean, it's just like any other normal hike. Finally, one time in February 2014, on a Saturday, we had a babysitter for our kids, and my wife's like, hey, you want to go hiking in the kettle? And I'm like, hey, you don't have to ask me twice. She just wanted to go for a hike. I wanted to go for other reasons. You know, I mean, I'm keeping my eyes open because I knew we were going to hike. And that's when we, you know, she's walking 50 yards ahead of me. I was following her deep, you know, two foot drifts, you know, fresh snow still coming down. And she's going up around the bend just a little bit. And all of a sudden I see these big divots going across the path. And, you know, coming up to them, I thought maybe a deer, you know, the way they put their legs together and kind of come down a kettle, right. a rabbit. But these things were big, and they were going over the path where my wife was just walking. And that's when I was noticing it. And I'm like, damn, that, I mean, it looks like a foot. I mean, almost like a bare foot, but just an impression straight down. But then I looked further, because it was such a white powder. Right now, I kind of enhanced them so you could really see them, like on my website and that. But all of a sudden, I saw another one, and another one, and another one. And I'm like, we measured these, and they were like 53 inches from like heel to heel. And I think, honestly, I think at that point, because I was still kind of, you know, maybe what I heard was an animal that I couldn't identify, and maybe people are just, you know, seeing things. But but after seeing that, and the way it was, and the way it snowed, and where it was in the middle of nowhere, that if somebody was trying to hoax it, they never came forward. And honestly, if they hoaxed it at that time, it was snowing, and within an hour, those prints would have been filled in anyway. You wouldn't be able to see them. So right. I'm like, you know, hey, you know, yeah, there they are. So as you can see, yeah, that's the first one that I saw. Look, I'm pointing like you can't see me. That right there. Yeah, right. The first one is the one I first noticed. I didn't notice the other ones if you see them keep going, right? You're on the site, right, where you can go down to the strides. I think it might be the next one over, the next slide over.
No, there you go.
Up there it is. So you see how it's almost, and I didn't know this, but it's almost in a tightrope type gait, which I didn't really realize at that point. But those were 53 inches.
Yeah, and that's they're not that far. They're not this way apart from each other.
Right, right.
They're like almost in line with each other.
Yeah, it is. It's to me, that just blew my mind, because if you also notice, and you've got to look at all the surroundings, there's no disturbed snow around it. That's what I was really looking for, like the old Little Danny and The Shining, you know, right. backstepping and getting off to the side and hiding the snow.
I noticed that it goes through some brush there. Was there any evidence of the brush being broke or pushed to the side?
No, and that's what I was going to say. Good, that's a great observation. Whatever this is, looked like it was stepping over everything as if it either had long legs, big legs, or I don't know, but whatever it was, I didn't see any, just nothing broke. You can see that. It's like a step over everything.
Right. Did you happen to follow them or anything?
I did. I did. I counted up to 12 of them, and just almost where you can't see in the picture anymore. And again, this is a rookie mistake. I did take a lot of pictures from this angle, but I should have videoed the whole bee following it and everything. But it's again, nothing I can do about it. That was in 2014.
We learn as we go.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. We learn as we go.
You learn it exactly. And so the last one I came up to was kind of a fallen down oak with some snow on top of it. And it looked like it was disturbed. So I couldn't tell if it was the front part of toes or the heel. But whatever it is, that was it. And it was not really in a big clearing, but the closest tree would have been about 20 feet, 15, 20 feet away. And so I'm thinking either A, this thing jumped that far, which I'm still thinking, wow, that would be an amazing feat. But again, what do I know? I don't know anything about Bigfoot.
You're measuring these out at 53 inches from each other for the stride.
Right.
What, I mean, and you're looking at what you're just saying about jumping. You know, if it's got a stride of 53 inches, that's
of a walk.
Yeah.
That's a tall person.
That's a walk, though.
Yeah.
So what's getting me on this is you've got this evidence here. You're measuring these out at 53
right.
from each other. And there's no evidence of broken brush on the ground from it or pushed aside.
No, I didn't see any
and
of that.
This is a walking stride, not a running stride.
Right.
Was there any, did you notice any broken branches or anything on the upper part of it?
No, and that's, again, being new into it, not thinking that, wow, if this was a Bigfoot, do they use the trees? I didn't even think about that. In fact, I thought Bigfoot always just stood bipedally. They never went on all fours. So much I have learned since this photo that you're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. I was looking more for anything on the bottom, you know, anything that was broken on the bottom. Right. And
you were a long time to learn, 7 years.
you were doing exactly what most everybody would do. Is once you find something, your attention is focused on your evidential find at the point that you find it. You're not actually thinking outside the box at that point, especially if you haven't done it very long.
Right. Oh yeah.
So for investigators like us, the ones that do wind up going out there and have been doing this for a bit, we've actually learned over the years that if you find an evidential, an evidence on the ground like that, you always want to look in all directions, 360 degrees and four dimensional. You always want to make sure you look up, look to the always. Side, everywhere.
It's funny because, yeah, that's what I do now is if I'm out there with my therm, I'm actually looking up in trees. You know, I'm looking everywhere.
I mean, if this thing's actually touching the tree, or if it's brushing up against the tree, it could actually have enough body heat transfer to change the temperature on that tree, depending on the time that you went through.
Exactly, and that's the other thing is being able to learn your thermal reads as you're out there, whatever season you're out there, because it's one of these things that when I did finally start recording those prints that you saw, I wasn't doing it for a documentary or anything. It was just for documenting sake is when I started hearing the tree knocks behind me. I'm like, weird, because this was off the beaten path. This was in a kettle. And I'm thinking, wait, what am I looking at? Now I'm seeing big prints, and I'm hearing knocks. You know, Finding Bigfoot talks about knocks, but these were like taps of a Morse code, or I don't know. It was really weird. And then I'm sitting there with my iPhone 4, just like recording out there, but I'm looking with my eyes. I'm like, I you know, the sound is right there. I'm visually looking at where it's coming from, and I can't see it. And that's when my wife came back and I showed her the video and the prints. And when I showed her the video, her eyes got as big as saucers because, you know, she thought I was doing it. I was just out of reach of her, and she thought I was like calling Bigfoot. you know, hitting the tree. And I'm like, no. It was, look, I was recording it. So we actually went up the path of where I'm hearing the knocks. And we get up there. Do you still have that website up to show the tree? Because this is all kind of within the same. You won't be able to hear the wood knocks on my website, but.
No, which tree?
There's
the one that's got the rocks sitting on it.
No, there's one that's broke. And I'm kind of standing in front of it, looking at it. Kind of in amazement. It might be in there. Yeah. Some in the earlier. That's it. Okay.
Yes, that's a fresh break, too, by the way.
Yes. And here's the thing.
So is the next one.
Yeah. Well, the reason I say that, you can tell it's a fresher break because of the fact that the wooden side is still the more whitish color to it. It doesn't have the aging that would happen once it's exposed to the atmosphere.
Yep, that's correct. And that's when I was really dumbfounded with this because there were a lot taller trees. So that ruled out wind for me. And I do really investigate the bottom part of the tree to see if it was too heavy snow coverage. But here's the thing. It's like where the break is, I'm 6 foot. So where the final part of the split is around seven.
So
right there. But to be able to break that using the physics you think a really big fat bear climbed up there because he was scared, and instead of pulling it down like in the cartoons where it snaps back up, it just snapped. It was like something super heavy either got to the top of the tree and smashed it or you know, again, depending where, but if around the 10-foot mark is where it could be pulled down.
Right. But there also could have been evidence along that trunk area too. Where you're saying up at around the 10-foot mark, there could have been something there that was left behind. Especially the kind of strength it would take to pull that down like that and snap it.
Now I really want to get out to the Kettle Moraine Forest. We've been talking about it since 2019.
Right. But what I was going to show you, Jay, is you were talking about I think you said something about the difference in temperature as well with your thermal camera, right?
Right, right.
This is one of the toys I use.
Nice.
It's a laser thermometer.
Yep.
So this will add a distance even using the laser on it. I can take a surface temperature.
Right.
And
I used to have one of those back, and I don't know what happened to it, but I used a lot of that for when we did investigating ghosts as well,
right.
which is perfect to do.
Yeah, using this in conjunction with your thermal camera can actually help you with figuring out what your ambient temperature is supposed to be.
Yes, and that's right now my device will actually show me what the degrees is of what I'm looking at, if it's a subject or not. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just the outer, the outer ambient part of the weather, just right. being out there. So those are really important because the Kettle Moraine isn't, you know, people think it's just all, you know, Bigfoot and that's it, which is still kind of crazy in itself. There's a lot of weirdness.
That I hear. But when you go out into the woods here in Wisconsin, you also got to be weary of our native wildlife that is here. For sure, you know,
not weird,
you know, like
you gotta be aware of it,
you know. Well, still,
I understand where you're
a lot going. Of them are predators, you know, because you've got the mountain lion or cougar, whichever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, you've got black bear, we've got wolves, mm-hmm. we've got coyotes, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I always say, you know, and that's just it.
There's bobcats, and there's another feline, I can't think of what it's a smaller. I think it's lynx, bobcat, and lynx are another one that's native to
this. Yeah, and the thing is, we have found, actually, Linda and I and Sanjay Singhal found some really nice feline tracks. Definitely we're thinking cougar more so than bobcat. But the thing is, we know they're out there. We've actually, if you watch TV and watch people's trail cams to say, yeah, there's no cougars, you know, in Wisconsin.
Oh, they're out there. Oh, yeah.
Bull crap.
That's
exactly
why.
Exactly right.
All right. Here's another thing. I don't understand why people
day in and day out, by the way.
Right. All right. You know Linda Godfrey, obviously.
Yeah.
Her son's Nate Godfrey.
Yep.
Last year, I think it was, they premiered their new documentary to the Paracon.
Yep.
Yeah, Wildcat Mountain.
The Return to Wildcat Mountain. All right. It's about a so-called Black Panther. Panthers don't exist. Okay. I mean, it's either a black, you know, a jaguar or a leopard with that melanin disease or pigmentation disease, right? Why can't a cougar have the same disease?
Well, lions do.
But these people are saying that
black lions and white lions.
But if you watched that documentary and heard what I said, the DNR and these people were denying that a cat even exists out there.
Right.
A black one, of all things.
Well, it could have been that zookeeper who, you know, one escaped.
Right. I've seen him in the right, but I've seen him in the zoo all the time.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You can either see you'll see the spots in there, you know, sometimes in the black leopards or whatever. That's what they call them. Or whatever, panthers, you know, but they're either leopards or jaguars or something along those lines. I don't see why another feline could be that way.
Well,
if it happens to a couple other breeds, yeah, it happens to house cats all the time.
Yeah, you have house
cats that are pure black.
That is actually a relative of those type of cats, and you have all different colors.
But for people saying that thing does not exist out there, I watched that documentary more than once since then. You know, it's foolish.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is you've got these people that, well, let's just face it, you wake up, go to work, come home from work, either, you know, until the weekend, then you go out to a friend's house. Well, before the COVID days, I should say. You know, people are all going A to B all the time, and they never do stop to actually look around. So if we're told by the DNR that there are no cougars out here, well, there must not be any cougars because that's what the DNR said. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper because it is out there. And you know, a lot of times people will say, Jay, you're crazy for going out there because we go out, no lights, if anything, a low red light. And I do this for one purpose. When I started in 2014, I was going out there with lights ablazing with my HD camera going, you know, we're just walking around. I'm like, I'm gonna find this Bigfoot. And then I thought about it when we're out there in the dark and we actually turn the lights off. And if you saw a flashlight walking towards you on the same path, oh, so there's two flashlights. Yeah, right. What's your first instinct when you're over there? You're like, well, who the hell is this person? And I don't know what their intentions are. You know, what if they're out there? They don't. So that puts the fear in us and we take off, go a different direction or whatever. And so I thought at this point, you know what, if I'm going to go out there and look, you know, I don't want to be, you know, coming out aggressive, you know, in any way. And I've had a lot of luck that way. You know, people think that every time I go out, something happens. But I'll tell you, you know, 14 out of 15 times I go out, nothing happens on that 15th time. Maybe something, but still inconclusive. And that's what you have to do is be tenacious about it, have a love for it, have a, you know, passion for it, and just keep it up and never stop. And that's what I do. And I still get joked on from it, from the people that don't believe in it, you know, and I understand they need to see it to believe it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they're not going to, some people aren't going to believe it until they actually have their own experience of some sort.
Right. Their own experience, or they see the proof right in front
of them. I've been kind of open-minded to this kind of stuff and all kinds of things most all my life. You know, I don't know why I've just, you know, Bigfoot exists? Possible. I mean, maybe it's because a science teacher when I was in high school, he said anything's impossible, and we tried to debunk him, and every time we did, he had an answer to make it possible.
Oh, exactly. So it's basically when people say that to me all the time, I only leave them with this one saying, you know, I don't try to convince them. I always say, you know what, go out and discover it for yourself. That's it. It's the only way that I would be able to prove what I've experienced or what I've seen, that, you know, somebody like who's going to have that Doubting Thomas mind. And I understand that. That's where Doubting Thomas came from. Seeing is believing. But, you know, they say if you believe it, you'll see it. You know what I mean? It's that the double-edged point there. So it's like, you know, the first sighting that I had out there looked like a long, mangy, thin chimpanzee. That's what it looked like to me. And it was in the dark. I was out actually with Mary Marshall, Paranormal MD. And we were doing a stakeout over the kennel where we found this structure. And it was in January 2017. And you could see like an animal without lights on. You know, every tree, every branch, everything. We're sitting on this 300-foot kennel kind of looking down, getting situated. It was cold. Found a big, huge stump log branch to sit on. And, you know, I'm always recording audio, but I'm not recording video at this time. So she's looking over my left. I'm looking over her right. We're just getting situated. It's going to, you know, light a cigarette, but I didn't light one yet. I'm just getting all situated. And all of a sudden I'm looking over her left shoulder and I'm looking at what looks like a lanky, huge chimpanzee kind of in a squat position, but not fully with its butt down. And I'm looking at it and my eyes are focused. I didn't use a light or anything. So my eyes were well adjusted. And all of a sudden this thing moves behind this brush and tree. And it was maybe about a 2 second sighting, but here's the odd thing is the thing never moved. It was like it was a statue sitting on a pallet with wheels and somebody just like pulled it behind the trees. The thing never wobbled, never moved. It just glided away. And I'm like, wait, what did I just see? Because people are always going to say, Jay, you're looking for Bigfoot so much that you are going to see it because you want to see it so bad, or that's what your mission is, right? Or, you know, what I'm after. But I'm like, if I was going to see it for the first time, I'm thinking Harry and the Hendersons, you know, bipedal, standing up on two legs against a tree going, hey, how you doing? I'm Daryl, or whatever. I didn't expect it to be on all fours. And, you know, I listened to like Sasquatch Chronicles, a couple other different. I like to hear other people's reports more than anything, where it's not overly embellished. And maybe, you know, 80% of the people do embellish it, but you're always going to find that percentage of behavior. And some of what I'm hearing from across the states, sometimes not even, you know, in Canada or wherever, it's happening here in Wisconsin. And I'm like, is that just a coincidence, or is this how we need to put pieces together? You know,
yeah. Well, there's a lot of credible witnesses out there, because a lot of these witnesses, especially in Wisconsin and some of these other areas like Minnesota, that I've seen are avid hunters. So they know what's out there. You know, when they're out there and they're out there hunting, they know if it's a deer from a long ways away.
Right.
You know.
Yep. That's how come in my documentary I had Mike Mitten, you know, he's Brotherhood of the Bow. He hunts everywhere, you know. He goes on solo hunts for moose, you know, up in Alaska for 3 weeks solo by himself. You know, it's crazy. But I do like to listen to lifetime hunters as well, because it's not all about me trying to prove the species exists. I believe it does, you know, in a court of law, you know, with the footprints, the sounds, the things that I have seen would prove that at least something there exists. And right. When I saw that mangy, chimpanzee type thing, you know, I'm like, that's gotta be, it didn't look like Patty, you know, it didn't look like Harry and the Hendersons, but it was definitely human shaped, you know, humanoid. I mean, who knows? It could have been a gray alien for all I know, floating right. about, but this is in the area where I've had a lot of Bigfoot behavior. And the best thing about it is I bring so many different people out there that it's not just Jay saying this. This is other people seeing it. You know, we all have that suggestive thought if you go on a ghost investigation or go look for Bigfoot or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you already have that. It's already in your head that you might see it. So when you hear a squirrel, you know, break a tree, you know what I mean, or crack it, it's a Bigfoot. You know, or in a house if the
fridge turns. See that stuff on TV a lot. Oh, it's a Bigfoot. It's a Bigfoot.
It's a Bigfoot. And that's what I tell people. You know, it's like, no, not a Bigfoot behind every tree. I mean, if it was, I mean, that'd be fascinating more than anything. But the thing
maybe
is,
a little scary too. But
if it was, we'd finally have a body.
Well, exactly. Or, you know, but even getting to that, it's like people always ask me, it's like, all right, Jay, I've seen your documentary. You seem believable, you know, which people can take it or leave it for what I say. You know, I don't try to add fluff to anything or, to embellish anything, but they're like, still, where's the body? And it's like, I have all the answers. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, what if these are not animals? What if they're first people? You know, not aliens, not extraterrestrials, but, you know, biblically, you know, talking in the Bible, you know, in the beginning, people used to live to be 1,000 years old. You know, what if, you know, you've heard of Nephilim and everything that could associate with that. What
Nephilim if are supposedly the fallen angels.
Right. Yes. And if you want to keep an open mind about it, what if they are half human, half, you know, I mean, I don't want to say half fallen angel, but whatever they are, they've got a supernatural ability to them. I don't want to say paranormal, you know, the whole woo, you know, with the Bigfoot, you know, people are like, no, it's a flesh and blood animal. Well, it very well could be, but like Mark was just saying, where's the body then? You know, if it's just an animal. And I really
do. Possible.
But I think like an animal, let's say a cougar out in the kennel, a hungry one or a hungry wolf, right? If he was hungry and I was there, would he hesitate to try to take me out, right?
No.
If he was hungry.
Probably and not.
Actually, that would depend. Because are you bigger? Because
right.
Because a predator normally will not go after prey that looks bigger than they are.
Right.
Well, there's an exception, though.
Or
like he mentioned a cat. He mentioned a cat and he mentioned wolves. Wolves yes. are pack hunters.
Yes,
they right. are. Like, yeah.
By the time he notices that wolf, when he's out there, he's surrounded.
The other one's at you.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, exactly. Right, I almost think of like the raptors.
You are. The but wolves will take out a big prey.
But I am saying, though, even the wolves, because if you exhibit the ability to fight back, the wolves will even.
Yeah, and I know that if a pack, you know, one of the wolves or any of the pack gets hurt, then they're going to get ousted out of the pack because they can no longer hunt. I guess what I'm saying is if a predator was going to go after you and it was really hungry, this is just all these hypotheticals.
Well, I'm sorry. I
Oh, no, no, which is fine. I'm just saying an animal wouldn't hesitate to try to take you out if it was really hungry.
No, it's desperate right. action.
Oh, yeah.
And
desperate.
Survival instinct.
Survival. However, I think a Sasquatch, and this is my opinion, because I've been doing it for almost 8 years and I'm still live to tell the tale, is I think they have one thing that's different from the animal, and that's consequence. I really do believe that if a Sasquatch would try to take you out, people are going to start looking, and they're going to start sniffing around the area.
Even more.
Exactly, even more, and they want to have that, you know, that peaceful unity, you know, within the kettle, or whatever woods or however right. they've been traveling for all these years,
right? Yeah. And at that point, that theory is where it shows possible intelligence.
Well,
right?
That's what I was just gonna say. It brings up that it's intelligent, so that would give you that it knows its environment well. You're not food to it.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know,
And if you're not carrying a gun or something like that, you're not posing a threat either.
Well, you know yeah.
They're smart enough to find their food if they're hungry. So I think even if a Bigfoot's hungry, it's maybe going to watch you to see what you're going to do. And then if you don't seem dangerous, it's going to go off and find its food because, you know, people have seen it fishing in rivers and catching trout like a bear. You know, there's been rumors of it killing deer, and we all know right. there's plenty of deer in Wisconsin for it to eat.
Oh, plenty, plenty. But you know, it's like going to that. It's you know, people will ask, "Hey, Greg,
how you doing?"
Just comment there. is I look at that and, all right, here's the crazy thing. I'm no longer trying to look and prove Bigfoot's existence. I really feel the next step in what I feel I'm called to do is to make contact. Crazy as that sounds, as dangerous as that sounds, as ludicrous, no matter how you look at it, it sounds crazy even when I hear it. But the thing is, I don't go out packing a gun, a firearm, and there's a reason for it. And people are like, you are just crazy. But all right, I understand that safety first. You know, I've got my 21-inch machete. I've got my deer knives everywhere. I got my bear spray. You know, anything to keep, anything real high-powered, you know, 1,500, 2,000 lumen flashlight. You know, I look at it that way. But I also feel like if you are going to look at the senses, what they can feel, you know, like how a dog can sense fear, mm-hmm. I'm thinking that they're so sensitive, Sasquatch is so sensitive, that they would actually pick up on your confidence. You know, even if you're concealing, you're packing, you're out there, you're confident walking out in the woods, no matter what, that nothing's going to touch you because you can defend yourself. And I want that opposite. You know, I want that, you know, that therefore they, I would think they would stay further away, knowing that you are a posable threat. Let's just stay away from them. I want to bring them in, you know? So I'm out there with my hands free. I'm talking to the woods, you know, the raccoons, possums are laughing at me because I'm waving at the woods. Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, it's Jay. And they're just like, who is this guy? Move along, move along. But, you know, the thing is, you don't know. And I've been doing these same techniques probably since 2015 when I lost my production studio all in one handheld walking out there. I'm like, I'm never going to find anything. Everything's going to be like 2 miles away by the time I get to it. But ever since then, so it's been almost 6 years that I've been doing the same technique now. And if they're there, it would show effect. But, you know, you can't say when you walk out there that they're always out there.
No.
You know? Yeah. It's crazy. It's, you know, I get excited about doing this because I do a certain hand signal when I'm out there. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if I make first contact, well, first I'd have to, I do bring an extra pair of underwear in my backpack. That's no it's no joke because I know what I would do if I came across something that towering and that menacing. But after that, I would think it would be really cool is if I got the same hand signal back.
Yeah.
I'd be like right there, whether they can speak or whatever. It's that next step I believe in. I hate the term research or researcher. I guess I'm an avid hiker that has an avid interest in something that may be out there. You know what I mean? That's how I like to approach it because people say, do you set up trail cams? Do you set up bait? Do you do this? Do you do that? I have in the past. It wasn't successful. It doesn't mean it won't work again. Maybe I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I'm like, the very last opportunity, which was 3 months ago, I brought my trail cam out and I haven't brought it out like in about 2 years. Prior to that, I was out there all the time, putting it everywhere. This time I had it in my backpack and I was about to put it up, but I didn't take it out of my backpack and I felt it was weird. And this is going to sound weird, but I didn't put it up because I felt like I'd be like putting a camera up for a person in my house. You know what I mean? Like, they trust me, right? My people in my house, and I'm going to put a camera up there so we can watch everybody. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense, but no, I kind of felt weird about doing it, and I didn't do it. So I don't know what that means.
Basically, you've been doing this long enough that you feel like maybe there's a connection with Sasquatch if he's there, and you feel that if you were putting up that camera at that point, you were invading his privacy.
Right. Yep. I do.
Yeah. I know where you're going with that.
Sounds crazy. I hear myself and I can watch I usually don't watch myself back on some of these because it's hard to watch myself
talk. I understand that.
Where I'm like, but that's just it. It's like, I know how crazy as it sounds, but You know what? I mean, there could be worse things. There could be worse things. I could be looking for unicorns. So,
hey, you know what? I'm gonna say this real quick here. All myths and legends are based in some truths.
So, yep.
Unicorns may actually exist.
Well, it does exist. Think about it. All it takes is a goat with a birth defect to have only one horn. Because that's what unicorn means, one horn.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But the traditional,
doesn't necessarily
the
have
traditional
to be a horse.
Legendary,
I know.
Legendary what? Unicorn is a horse.
Maybe, but maybe the legend was based on a goat.
Out of its forehead.
And over time, it turned into a horse. See?
I see. And it's possible, but I'm just saying, even the little people, I've heard of
Leprechauns?
Little people. I've heard
of Hachi, no.
We're talking 6-inch people in the Kettle Moraine.
Oh, no.
I mean, honestly, I don't know what I would be more scared of. If seeing a,
probably gnomes.
Yeah. Gnomes. Would you be scared of seeing a Bigfoot, something 9-foot menacing, or seeing these like little people walk up to your feet like Gulliver's Travels? That's creepy.
I don't know. I don't know which one would be worse. I might need a pair of underwear for both.
I know, right? Also, you look down and you got like a couple hikers climbing on your pant leg.
Climbing up the mountain.
I know, exactly. Yodeling. Kind of like the Price is Right.
The little toothpick like swords poking at you.
I know. But I'm just saying, it's we experience some very unique lights out there, orbs, different colors. I was out there, Karen and I were out there it's probably November, and we're looking, and I know where I'm at, where any cars would be, or if you're down in a kettle, you're looking above and you're looking at the top of the hill, but you're looking at the horizon, so it could be a plane that looks like it's in the trees. I know where all these places are. I see this white orb from my right to my left, just zip maybe about 20 yards, and then just stop and then disappear. And then I look again, and it does it right back, the same spot. And you can't move that way. I don't care if it's a bike or whatever. You can't move that way in the woods, which was really unique. Well, when I was telling Karen it was right over here, you know, I'm wearing a baseball cap when I'm out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm showing her. She's like, right here. We're looking right there. We don't see anything. But what we failed to say when it did happen, after she couldn't find it, I'm like, hey, just like a minute ago, was there a flash right above your head? She goes, yeah. What was that? It was right above her head. Now you could say if there was lightning, it'd be lightning. You know, a flash would be everywhere, just even for a second. This was centralized right over the brim of my hat, nowhere else. So I saw it right over my hat, right under like my equipment that I was holding. I have no idea what it was. I almost felt like it was something was above us taking a picture. It's creepy. I have no idea what some of that phenomenon is out there. And I don't know if they're all related. I never put ghosts in a box, UFOs in a box, Bigfoot in a box. Whatever it is, this is one big box, and it's weird. Thus weird Wisconsin.
Maybe it's fairies.
I know, right? All of a sudden I look and I'm like, hey, you're not supposed to be
Tinkerbell.
Here. Tinkerbell.
You know, for Wisconsin being so weird, that wouldn't be the first time that story comes up with like gnomes and fairies, because there is a famous location on the what would that be, the west side of the state over there.
It's
in
kind
Devil's
of central,
Punch Bowl.
Yeah, Devil's Punch Bowl. It's kind of central west.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's said
to be basically a gateway to the fairy realm.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know what we're dealing with. I love doing it. I have a passion to going out there and with anybody. Like if you guys ever wanted to go.
Hey, I've been having fun doing this the last couple of years. You know,
you want to hook up some weekend. I'm there, buddy.
Yeah, right, just wait for winter to be over. Cold doesn't go well with me.
Well, for him,
That, yeah, exactly.
Now, winter's over with. For me, it doesn't matter. I'll go anytime.
See, and honestly, that's why I say is if the truth is out there, it's out there in negative 12. It's out there in 90-degree mosquito-y fested. It's always out there. I feel like I'll be out there any season. You know what I mean? And that's what I do is.
I missed like three Wisconsin winters in a row. And yeah, I don't take no chances no more. I hibernate in the wintertime. I had cancer in 95. So I spent two and a half, three years in the UW hospital, Madison.
So, and the cold doesn't agree with him after that.
And the cold hasn't agreed with me since.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you were to say, let's go to the kettle and we all have to eat cottage cheese, I'd feel the same way you do because I can't stand cottage cheese.
What's wrong with cottage cheese?
I don't know.
It's great on top of fruit.
Yeah. You know, it's
the texture, the little.
I'll tell you what. Cottage cheese. It's just like George Carlin said, man, it just doesn't look right.
It doesn't.
It looks like something. It's like yogurt. I mean, yogurt doesn't sound right or look right. It's like something somebody ate and regurgitated.
I like that. Oh, man. But but what I'm saying, and I agree with you there, Joe, is that I'm just saying, Joe, if people have a hard time going in certain temperatures or whatnot, That's all good. And that's what I look for is I'm usually looking for those people that are like, I don't care, you know, what the weather is, or, you know, if they can go when it's nicer weather, they can, that's great. But it's like, you know, I'll go out anytime. You never have to, you know, I'm ready to go. Everything's packed in my car always. So I'm always thinking, I always have a dash cam going 24/7. I'm crazy. I'm like, if I ever see anything, I have my equipment, I'm jumping out.
Well, I don't think in a way, As a paranormal investigator, I've started to learn that you can't have too much equipment sometimes, because sometimes the strangest things happen when you don't have a damn thing to record it with. You know, like one time we did an investigation last Halloween and we had a light flicker on us that shouldn't have flickered, and no body cam or nothing. We were just going out for a smoke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's
it's a one light in a series of three lights that's hooked to the same switch. So it was the middle light,
right?
And it flickered. It just like flickered, and that was it.
Thank God I wasn't the only one there that witnessed it, though. So I mean, I wasn't alone. So I mean,
oh no, I hear you.
Mark over there would have definitely thought I was crazy then. Oh, you're just getting senile. It's old age, you know.
Well, that
let nothing down.
That's
not even when I stepped on the deer at that sanatorium hill almost.
It's crazy because if people look at this and, you know, I'm out there with Mark, let's say, and I'm looking to my left, you're looking to the right, and you're like, dude, I just saw it. And it was glowing and it was a Bigfoot and it went up into the tree and it disappeared. I'd have to turn and go, oh, really? You know what I mean? I would be like, I didn't see it. I mean, I'd believe you if you're hunting the truth and really looking for it. And depending on your expression, if you weren't snickering at me while saying it. But what I'm saying is, I agree with you. Having somebody see, like in my documentary, three of us saw these beady red laser eyes without any eye light on them. They were just showing up in front of us. We couldn't tell exactly how far back they were. And when we did the going back the next day, figuring where they would be, they were right at about 9 foot, which is crazy. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You know, it's good, like you said, Joe, that at least other people saw the flickering light and they didn't think you were crazy. So
yeah, he wouldn't have let me live it down. You know, but we've known each other 20 plus years. So, you know. Okay. We go way back.
Yeah, that's the way it goes with us. So
that's good.
Okay. And so is there any websites that you have that you want to plug besides the one we got scrolling here?
Yeah, I like that. Jay Can Be Found for Finding Jay. That was very clever. I like that. that's my main website. You can find me on Facebook as well. And I do have pages linked, which you can also find on my website. So realistically, if you ever want to get a hold of me, you can message me there on the website and or get to Facebook or whatnot. Now, I do have my documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. It's been on there since July of 2019. I do have really professional burned 1080 Blu-rays as well for any type of anybody that likes to collect. I like to collect. I don't like just to buy movies and then they're just all digital. But I know this is a streaming age. However, the one thing people may or may not know is I did a special bonus material, Finding Jay. And it was actually supposed to be on Prime and piggyback onto my film. But because I did it a year apart, Prime looked at the special edition as a new documentary, which was more extended interviews, trailer, gag reel, all that stuff. And they looked at that and it's against their community guidelines. So they uploaded it and they said, nope, you can't do it. So I'm like, well, I have a film here. It went on YouTube. It's on, just look under Jay Bachoch, and that's my YouTube channel. And it's a Finding Jay special bonus material. And it's about an hour long of extended interviews of what you see in my documentary, some deleted scenes that you haven't seen. And it's the gag reel, I think, is the best because, well, let's face it, when you're out in those woods, it's not the the paranormal things that happen to you. It's the human nature. And it is. It's fun. It's been a great journey so far. And
I can just imagine when you're out with your wife, the things you can have.
Oh, my God. And the thing is, I record everything. You know what I mean? It's like when I'm out there, I'm a walking surveillance. So, and the thing is, I keep everything. I've got a couple 5 terabyte drives just full of photos, videos, everything marked. I always do a testimonial at the end of every one of our investigations. So that's the first video I go to see what happened. Then I can start diving into the audio, diving into the photos and so on and so on. But yeah, so you can find me on my website, Amazon Prime, Finding Jay, or YouTube, the special bonus material.
Cool.
That's about it.
All right. So, thanks again for popping in with us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah. I enjoy talking with like this.
Remember to stick around for a couple minutes here.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
And Friday, we will have retired City of Madison firefighter Lisa Van Buskirk here. She also gives tours of the haunted side of the UW-Madison for ghost walk tours of American ghost walk tours, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So
Thanks. Stay safe. Thanks for watching.
And just remember, anything's possible.